If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to Isaiah, the 35th chapter. I want to read a few verses there to start with. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. And in just a minute, I'm going to start in verse 4. And it reads like this. It says, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Now, this is a prophecy. This is something that Isaiah is writing here, and he's giving some clues and some things to look for when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come onto the earth. He says, it says, you know, there's no need to be afraid. Be strong. It says the Lord is coming and he's going to save you. And he says, and when that happens, these are some of the things that you're going to see. Now, I think about, like I've read over the years or heard about maybe some very distant tribes and lands that, you know, are not really socialized or don't really, you know, have a lot of technology. They're just, you know, maybe tribes out in jungles and things like that. They have these beliefs that, you know, I'm making this part of it up, but if, you know, you see a albino giraffe born, then that's the sign that, you know, certain things are about to, you know, start happening, and, or, you know, droughts are coming, or maybe floods are coming or whatever. But there's something that they're looking for. They said, hey, when we know when we see this happen, as ridiculous as that may sound to us, then, you know, they think that's a sign. Well, here Isaiah is saying, when the Lord comes and brings salvation to his people through Jesus Christ, there are certain things that you're going to see. And he lists them there, and I've already read that. It says the eyes of the blind are going to be opened, the ears of the deaf are going to be unstopped. It says the lame man is going to walk, and the tongue of the dumb, we don't really use that term anymore. We would call that person a mute, but a person that cannot speak, it says that they're going to, you know, break forth into song. So here you see this prophecy. Now, this is written by the prophet Isaiah, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, we see the Lord Jesus Christ be born of a virgin, and he grows up, and at 30 years old, he begins his ministry. Now, if you, and you know, you could go through multiple different examples here, but I want to look in John, the 5th chapter, for just a second. And the purpose of all these things that I want to talk to you about this morning would kind of fall under the title of reasons that we don't see. Now, when I say reasons we don't see, I'm speaking of the reasons we don't see spiritual things. Now, there might be reasons that, you know, I've got glasses now, and if I take them off, I don't see as good as I do if I have my glasses on. And so there's a reason that I don't see all that well. I don't really know what it is. It's, you know, something with my eyes, I guess. But, you know, there might be a reason that this person over here doesn't see. Well, maybe their eyes are closed. Or maybe this person doesn't see because they've been blindfolded. Or maybe this person doesn't see because they've got some sort of, you know, eye disease that keeps them from seeing. But that's in a natural sense. But there are multiple reasons from a natural sense that a person may not be able to see. But I want to look at reasons why we may not see spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about the unregenerate, unborn again person that the Bible tells us cannot see. I'm not saying reasons we can't see. I'm talking about reasons we don't see. I'm talking specifically more about children of God, people that are born again, that have that divine nature. There are still times that those people who have that born again divine nature, there's still reasons that we don't always really see fully what the Lord is doing, or just the truths of the Bible. In John, the 5th chapter, let's just start in verse 1. And remember, maybe 600-700 years prior to this, there was a prophecy given that we just read. And in John, the 5th chapter, in verse 1, it says, "After this, There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And it says, for an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, I realize that 600, 700, 800 years is a long time. But when you what you have is, in this day and time, you have people that are called scribes. And scribes were people that would that knew the letter of the law. What scriptures they had, the Old Testament, they knew that very, very well. And you have Pharisees, who were a religious organization that tried to follow the laws, that the Mosaic law that had been given. They tried to follow it very, very closely. I mean, the Bible even says down to the jot and the tittle, which is the very smallest of details. I find it hard to believe that these people were just ignorant of the prophecy that we saw in Isaiah. And so here you have this man that Jesus walks up to and just says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And for 38 years he has not been able to do that. And with a sentence, now he stands up and he's able to walk. Now, what would you think some of these people would begin to think? Because this was not, as they say, par for the course. This is not like, I heard about that man doing that, but, you know, people have been doing that all over the place. Somebody did it around the block just a couple days ago, told a man to get up, and a lame man to get up and walk, and he did. This didn't happen. You just didn't see somebody walking up and healing like he did. This is a miracle. And you think the response might be, you know what? I remember Isaiah said that when the Lord is going to come and save us, these are things that we're going to see. You think that would be the response. But what happened is, notice it says here that it was done on the Sabbath. And it says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. That's not the reaction I would think that they would have had. You think the reaction would have been, what did you just say? Did you just say that you were lame for 38 years and he came to you, told you to stand up and take your bed and walk? Does anybody here remember what Isaiah said? That when he comes to save us, that the lame are going to walk. Does anybody remember that? I wonder if this is the Christ. Do you think it would have maybe just stoked a little interest in them? But it didn't. And instead, they said, oh, this man has done so. I mean, they didn't even say, what a wonderful thing that's been done. They didn't even scratch their heads and say, now, how did this happen? They said, oh my goodness, he told you to take up your bed on the Sabbath day, and that is not legal. And because of that, we're going to seek to persecute Jesus and slay him. Not the response I would have imagined. Now, if you flip over to John, the 9th chapter, in verse 1, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. What do you think he's talking about there? In this particular situation, this man was born blind because he was going to be an instrument to display that the Christ is here. Because don't forget about the prophecy in Isaiah. And he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, what you find here is Jesus has healed a man that was lame. He's checked that box off. He here has healed a man that was blind. And notice what it says again. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And it says, Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. All right, what has happened here? It's the same thing that happened with the man at the pool of Bethesda. You have seen two things happen, two miracles happen that were fulfilling the very prophecy that Isaiah had, gave, that pointed to this man will be the Christ. This man is our Christ. He has healed the lame, and he has given sight to the blind. Now, if you go over to Matthew, the 9th chapter, I'm going to go through this quickly here. Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 32, it says, And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, which again, that would be the deaf at mute, is what we would call it today. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb or the mute spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. Again, this is a man that Jesus has healed. And notice what it says. It says, But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Now, we've got the lame, we've got the blind, we've got the dumb and the deaf all being healed by Jesus. Who else in this time period, or since Isaiah prophesied that, who else has come along doing these things? Nobody. But Jesus has come along and he is healing these people and he is fulfilling the prophecy that was given in Isaiah. And one part that I really, really like that connects that prophecy, if you remember John the Baptist was in prison at a certain time in Jesus' ministry here, and he would never get out of that prison. He would actually be beheaded in that prison. And John the Baptist is the one who declared when he saw Jesus coming, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is the one that baptized Jesus. John the Baptist has already proclaimed who he is. He's baptized him. He had a very clear picture that this is absolutely 100% the Christ. He was not doubting. Okay, and this is before Jesus had started checking the boxes of the Isaiah prophecy. The Lord gave John the Baptist some light to see that this was the Christ, but now John is in prison. And John is like a whole lot of us, things that we are very certain of and hold very dear to and very tightly to, when trouble and despair and distress come, we have a way of just loosening that grip and losing hold of the things that maybe we once were very confident in. And so John the Baptist is in prison and he is losing that confidence that Christ is the Son of God. He's losing that confidence that the man that he's already proclaimed was the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world, the man that he has baptized, the man that he was so confident is the Christ. He is losing confidence that he really was. And as he sits in prison, that's what despair and fear will do to you. And it says, and it came to pass, this is Matthew 11, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, that is John the Baptist, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, two of his friends, and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, so John is in prison. He is in great despair. He is beginning to doubt. And maybe it sounds like maybe a couple of his friends come to visit him, and he tells them, he says, I need you to go and ask this man, are you really the Christ, or do I need to look for somebody else coming in the future? My hope has been in you, but I'm not so sure that that hope was correct. So I need you just to tell me, is it you, or do I need to look for another? And they go and ask Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Now, think of all the infinite number of ways that Jesus could have reassured John the Baptist that I am the Christ. But notice what he does. He says, go back and basically he says this. Go back and tell John that I'm checking all the boxes that the prophecy by Isaiah said I would need to check. He says, go and tell John again. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. He even goes further. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, when these people go back to John the Baptist in prison, remember, he's in a very fragile state, and they said, and John sees him coming. Can you picture it in your mind when John's like, what'd he say? And they said, he said, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the dead are raised up. And John the Baptist, I wonder if he thought about that prophecy in Isaiah that, yeah, that's the checkboxes he's got to check. That's the thing that Isaiah told us to look for. If you'll let me say it this way, that's the albino giraffe. That's what I'm looking for. And I imagine it filled John with a tremendous amount of hope. Now, again, why did Jesus do these miracles? Now, obviously, he did it because he had compassion on those that were suffering. But you also notice that he didn't heal everybody. He didn't heal every sickness, every lame, every deaf person. He didn't do all of that. What was the main purpose of the miracles that Jesus did? Now, he tells us in John the 10th chapter, let me read a few verses to you here. In John the 10th chapter, in verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them. He said, I told you. Let me back up a verse. The Jews are coming to ask him basically the same thing that John the Baptist was wanting to know. Are you really the Christ? The Jews come to him and says, Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Again, totally ignoring Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And he also says in verse 38, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me or my testimony, believe the works. Believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now, he's not talking to these like they're unregenerate, reprobate people. He's not saying to them what he has said to others, where he says, you generation of vipers, you're of your father the devil. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you're asking me if I'm the Christ. And he said, I told you that I am. but that was not enough for you. You didn't believe me just on my testimony. And he says, so if you're not going to believe me, believe all the check marks that I've got. Believe all the check boxes that I've gone through. Yes, has he healed the lame? Yes. Has he made the deaf to hear? Yes. Has he made the blind to see? Yes. He's doing all of these things. Has he made the mute and the dumb to speak? Yes. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe me, believe what I'm doing. So the miracles that Jesus did were a witness that he was, in fact, the Son of God. But now, did they see that? Remember what we're talking about, reasons we don't see. Why would they not see that? Why could they not, and I say they, I would have been in the same group with them, I'm sure. Why do these people who most certainly some of them were born again children of God, why could they not see? Now, let's go and look at that just a little bit here. Acts the 28th chapter. In Acts the 28th chapter, we get a picture of why they won't see. Acts the 28th chapter. In verse 25. Paul has been discussing things with some Jewish people, and some of them are, you know, kind of believing it, and some of them kind of are not. And they couldn't really settle on whether or not the things Paul was saying were true. And it says, and some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. And in verse 25, that was 24, in verse 25 it says, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, which is Isaiah. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. So what is he saying there? What Paul is dealing with is some of the Lord's people not believing that Jesus was the Christ, even after he had done all of these miracles, which were done as a witness to testify and fulfill the prophecy by Isaiah that the Son of God will be doing these things when he comes. And some of them still did not believe it. And what does it say? It says, hearing ye shall hear. Did they hear Jesus? Did they hear him say, I'm doing these as the works of my Father? Did they hear him say that these things that I'm doing are a witness to me? Yeah, they heard that. It says they heard it, but they didn't understand it. And it says, seeing, you shall see. Did they see the miracles? Did they see the man get up and walk? Did they see the mute speak? And they see the deaf hear? They saw all those things, but they did not perceive. They saw it, but they didn't see it. Do you understand? They saw it with natural eyes, but they didn't see it with spiritual eyes. They heard it with natural ears, but they didn't hear it with spiritual ears. Not because they couldn't, because they wouldn't. And it says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. That means gross right there is what we would say calloused, like calluses on your hands. For the heart of this people is waxed gross or calloused, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, notice this, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying the Lord didn't close their eyes. They closed their eyes. They closed their ears. They've become calloused. And there's a million and one reasons we've become hard-hearted. That's what it's talking about. There's a million and one reasons we become hard-hearted and don't see what really is truth. Paul is saying here, when he's talking to these Gentiles, he says, you need to understand the blessing that comes from believing that this man truly is the Christ. What did Christ come to do? To save. What was the prophecy given in Matthew? She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. The prophecy in Isaiah, the 35th chapter, he will come to save you. There's salvation in Jesus. And when Jesus comes on the scene and he starts his ministry through the power of God, he's got a very influential witness and companion with him, and that's his miracles. They saw him, they heard him, but their hearts were so hard, they didn't believe him. And because of that, they forfeited what the Bible says here is a healing. It says they should be converted and I should heal them. Now, some of the times the reasons we don't see is because our heart, as the Bible says, is waxed gross. We are hard-hearted. We're callous. Why do we get calloused? Again, there's a lot of reasons. Sometimes we become calloused because our human nature is to grow apathetic towards things. Sometimes we grow callous because we've gotten upset or mad about something. Sometimes we grow calloused because we have stopped devoting the time to study and to worship and to church like we should. There's a lot of different reasons we could grow callous, but when we grow calloused to the things of God, we may see them, but not really see them. We may hear them, but not really hear them. What does that look like? You may be sitting out there this morning and you're hearing me with your natural ears, but your spiritual ears may be dull. And nothing I say may be stirring you or even bringing any kind of spiritual thought to your mind. You're hearing me with your ears of natural ears, but not with your spiritual ears. Sometimes we don't hear because we grow hard-hearted. Let me give you another reason we don't hear or see sometimes. This is very interesting to me as I study this out. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, and this kind of piggybacks off what I just said. Hearing with your spiritual ears and seeing with your spiritual eyes is a tremendous blessing. Now, the person that saw the lame get up and walk went back to his house. The ones that put their hope in Jesus and believed in that and accepted the testimony of that work, they went back to their house excited and hopeful, thinking to themselves, hey, there's somebody here that's bigger than life. What about the people that were there watching him raise people from the dead? Do you think that the fear of death loosened its grip on them a little bit? It would have me. Hey, there's somebody bigger than death here. It would have been very freeing to me to see those things. But the people that saw those things and just stomped their foot and be like, I cannot believe that he just raised that man from the dead on the Sabbath. Can you believe that? I can't believe that he just gave that man who had not been able to walk for 38 years, I can't believe that he gave him his legs back on the Sabbath day. Well, they went back to their house bitter and mad and fussing about Jesus. Do you see the blessing of seeing and hearing with your spiritual senses? It changes your entire attitude. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, when you see Jesus begin to preach here, my point of saying that about being a blessing to see, the second reason that we don't see sometimes is what I call judicial chastisement. It's because the Lord hides things from us because we have lived in sin. And we forfeit that blessing of truly being able to see. Now, what does that look like in the Bible? Well, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus begins what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And if you'll notice, when Jesus begins to teach, it's very simple. It's not hard to understand at all. Let me give you, over the next two or three chapters here, when Jesus begins to teach, let me give you some of the things that he taught you. He says things like, blessed are the peacemakers. Boy, that's a doozy to understand, right? That's tricky. That's hard. What does he mean by blessed are the peacemakers? If you're a peacemaker, you're blessed. That's pretty elementary, right? Blessed are the merciful. Is that hard to understand? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek. Is any of that difficult to understand? Isn't that so simple? Then you go on and Jesus talks about things like loving your enemies. Is that hard to understand? Might be very hard to apply. But is it hard to understand that Jesus is teaching, hey, you need to love your enemies? That shouldn't go over anybody's heads. Even children can understand that. He preaches about loving your enemies. He preaches about the importance of prayer and how to pray. He teaches us how to pray. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Is that hard to understand? No. He says, forgive us our debts. He says things like, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's not hard to understand. He says things like what we know is the golden rule. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. That's not hard to understand. What you want men to do to you, how you want to be treated, treat other people that way. All right, do you see here, as you go through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is not making it complicated. He's making it very, very simple. And then in verses 8 and 9 and 10, you see Jesus starting to check the boxes of Isaiah. Okay? You see him starting to prove that he is the Son of God. Now, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, again, follow me now. He's preaching very simply, very straight, very easy to understand. He does miracles after that, and we see those miracles. And then in Matthew, the 12th chapter, this is the Pharisees' response. He says, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Do you see what happened right there? Instead of saying, this has got to be the Messiah, they said, this is the devil. This man is devilish, and the spirit of Satan is flowing out of him. Okay? So we're preaching very simply in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew 8, 9, and 10, we're doing miracles to testify that he is who he said he was. In Matthew chapter 12, they attribute that power not to a fulfillment of a prophecy, but being responsible by it because he is filled with the spirit of Satan. And then we see judicial chastisement come upon them, and they cannot see, they won't see, because Jesus is going to start hiding things from them. Okay? In Matthew, the 13th chapter, what do you see come onto the scene? You see parables. And I preached about parables a month or so ago. And parables are not fun little stories to make things easier to see. Parables are given, and the Bible teaches that. Go back and find that on the website. Parables are given to hide things from some and reveal it to others. And in Matthew, the 13th chapter, instead of speaking very plain language to them, all of a sudden the kingdom of God is likened to a sower that sows seed. And some of it falls here, and some of it here, and some of it here, and some of it there. And even the people that walked with him and believed in him, even those people came to him and said, now what does that mean? All right, we're a long way from blessed are the peacemakers. Do you understand? We're a long way from blessed are the merciful, because the Lord has started taking this message that he's giving the people that will heal them and send them back to their homes with a great hope. He has started to hide that as a chastisement for rejecting him and when he proclaims that he's the Son of God. And now all of a sudden the kingdom of God is likened to. He starts comparing things to tares and wheats. He says the kingdom of God now all of a sudden is like a treasure hidden in a field. He says the kingdom of God now is like a pearl of great price. You know, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I've tried to study this Bible, relentlessly and read it. And I still look at the treasure hidden in the field and the kingdom of God being like a pearl of great price and be like, now, I wonder exactly what I'm supposed to see right there. Do you see how the Lord began to hide things that he once plainly taught? Now they don't see it because he's hidden it from them. And you say, well, why in the world would the Lord want to hide these great truths from people? Because they rejected it. And their chastisement is they no longer receive the blessing. It's no different than a parent and a child saying, you are not listening and following my instructions. So that fun little trip to the water park we were going to take, we're not taking it now. Why would a parent not want that child to go to the water park? It's as a chastisement for their rebellion. And remember, it is a blessing to see the truth. Judicial chastisement. And if you notice, if you go on a little bit further to Matthew, in Matthew the 21st chapter, in verse 12, this is when Jesus goes into the temple and people are buying and selling and trading. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. This is almost like the last straw here. Jesus says, my house is called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And two chapters later, Jesus is lamenting over all these things. And in Matthew 23:37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. You see what he's saying? I have stood here. I've checked all the boxes. I've let these miracles be a witness that I am the Son of God, and you have rejected me. I was standing here like a mother hen wanting to gather her little ones under her wings and heal them and protect them and take care of them, but you wouldn't do it. You rejected me. You tried to persecute me. You tried to kill me. You're trying to imprison those that are preaching about me. You're trying to do all of these things. You've turned my house of worship into a den of thieves. And then he says, verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You see, in Matthew 21, it was my house. But the Lord steps back and says, now it's your house. And all these precious things that I want to show you and teach you and you learn of me, I'm going to hide them from you as a chastisement. That's another reason we don't see sometimes, is because the Lord has hidden truth from us. You know, I scratch my head sometimes and I say, I wonder why is it that some people it doesn't matter what you show them in the Bible, they don't see salvation by grace. I wonder sometimes, it may be like the first example, where they're just calloused and hard-hearted to it for some reason or another. Maybe influences they had in their life, they won't see it, even though it's right in front of them. I think sometimes that people won't see it because the Lord has hidden it from them. Because let me tell you, coming from one place to another like I did, understanding salvation by grace is a blessing and freeing. And it is one of the greatest revelations that I have ever had in my life, that salvation is of the Lord. I'm glad the Lord is not hiding that from me as a chastisement. And the last one here, just for a few minutes, the last one here, go to Luke, the 24th chapter. This is the last reason sometimes we don't see. And this is also somewhat comforting. and verse 44 of Luke 24. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Notice this part on 45. It says, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Sometimes the reason we won't see or don't see, sometimes the reason we don't see is because the Lord has not revealed it to us yet. There's a time in John where he tells his disciples, he says, "There's a many things that I need to tell you." He said, "But you can't bear them right now. You can't bear them right now." And I think it's John the 16th chapter. Go read John the 16th chapter. It's very interesting. In the first 24 verses of John the 16th chapter, Jesus is preaching to or teaching to his disciples. And in that chapter, there comes a point where his disciples say, We just kind of need you to, I hate to say it this way, we just need you to kind of simplify this, dumb this down a little bit for us. We're not following. Jesus does not change the way he preaches from verse 24 on. Nothing changes. He follows the same pattern all the way through. And at verse 24, I think it is verse 24, they say, "Could you just kind of talk plainly to us for a little bit?" Nothing changes. He says about four or five more sentences, and then they say, "Now you're talking to us plainly." But Jesus didn't change anything in the way he was speaking to them. But what changed? Jesus gave them some light and some understanding that they didn't have previously. Here it says in Luke, "Then he opened their eyes." Paul writes, "I pray that the Lord will give you understanding." So there are things that we don't see sometimes simply because the Lord has not blessed us to see it. Maybe because we can't bear it, or maybe for reasons we don't understand, the timing is not right. I'm glad to know that when I sit down in the Bible, I can't read through this Bible and say, "Okay, I'm done. I've read it. Next thing." Because I might read through it again, or there might be just one scripture I might have read 1,000 times. But the 1,001st time I read it, the Lord opens my eyes to something. And he reveals something to me in that scripture. I'm sure many of you could testify to that. I've read that verse my whole life, and I just saw it. Brother Sonny Powell says you never stop digging up the gold nuggets out of the Bible. Now, reasons we don't see is what I've talked to you about this morning. Sometimes we don't see because our hearts are hard. We need to repent and ask the Lord to take the scales off of our eyes so we could hear and see with our spiritual eyes, be converted, not saved, be converted, and go back to our house with a joy and a hope like these people did that watched all these miracles. Sometimes it's judicial chastisement where the Lord hides things from us as a punishment or chastisement for the sins that we're committing and the rebellion that we have in our lives. Again, what's the answer? Repent. Sometimes we don't see things because the Lord has just not revealed them to us yet. But the prayer there would be, "Lord, in your time and when I'm ready and when I need it, I pray that you'll reveal it to me." I hope that that's been profitable to you.